Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinkney to Pinkney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinkney. I tell you, we have had a ball this week. We have done something incredible. We had Danny Glover here, and it was truly, truly a remarkable thing. And it was a tremendous success. Tremendous. I tell you, we've been battling this thing. We've been fighting this thing. We've been trying to stay on top of what we're doing. We've been taking this thing one step at a time, talking about boycott, boycott, boycott. Boycott everything. Whirlpool, Whirlpool, boycott. That's what we have to do. Florida, boycott. We are in the middle of a truly battle. We need everybody to come out and vote yes in the city of Benton Harbor for this new income tax. Yes, we want you to vote yes. Make sure you understand how important this is. This is war we're fighting. This is no conflict. And we need everybody help. But listen, I just got back from Chicago, taking Danny Glover to the airport. We had a tremendous time. I tell you, it was really off the chain. Listen, I'm going to bring in my good friend, my guy, the man of the hour, Lee Robinson. Lee Robinson, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
How are you doing today?
I'm nice and strong this evening.
You're kind of like breaking up a little bit on me. You're breaking up a little bit.
I sent you over to my other line. Gave me 1 minute. Call on my 3217 line in 1 minute.
All right, I'll give you a second, then I'll go to my good friend Ken just for a second. Go
okay.
Right ahead. Ken, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. How are you doing, Reverend Pinkney?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Not too bad. Great party you had last night.
Oh, man, I enjoyed every minute of it. We had breakfast this morning with them, and it was on fire. Folks, the whole restaurant was excited. I got
right.
A chance. I'll talk about that later, about the TIs and different things that we talked about in reference to that. He said he heard of it, and he said it's an incredible thing. But basically he said that you gave him a couple of DVDs. I told him to make sure he watched it. I got to mail them to him. I'm going to mail him a few more. I'm going to mail him some things so he can see exactly what's going on.
Right, well,
I'm definitely good with it.
The DVD that I got is Alex Jones interviews Deborah Tervaeus. I don't know if I'm pronouncing her name right, but I think I am. And if anybody wants to go on the website, it's stopthecrime.net. The most informative thing that there is, and these elite, they do not, everybody tells me, follow the money. It is not the money. It's the power and control that they want over the whole world. It's nothing to do with the money. They got more money than they could ever possibly spend. It's power and control. Until people understand that, they're not going to understand very much. I passed out probably, when I left there last night, there's like 100, I put 150 DVDs out, and there's probably four of each one left. So that's good. At least a lot of people will start understanding what is going on, because the American people has got to wake up. I find out that right now I stop at rest areas and I pass them out to people. If you try to give one to somebody driving a new Cadillac Escalade or a new pickup, they don't want to hear it because they haven't been affected yet. They just,
absolutely,
everything's fine. You get somebody's driving a 2001, they've already lost their house, their car, their job. They want to hear about it. So I've had a lot of success passing out to people like that.
And you know what? One thing I learned, I try not to jab it down their throat, but I try to tell them what to expect. And they can believe me if they want. If they don't, I'm not mad at them.
Right, exactly. Well, look at the woman they assassinated the other day in front of the White House. Now, all of a sudden, it's for some reason, and I can't put a finger on that, why it's always the black people. Aaron Alexis was black. He said he was hearing voices. That he was hearing the through the walls they was hitting, his body was vibrating. They wouldn't let him sleep. He's calling the police. I mean, I've heard that story 1,000 times from TIs. You know, and nobody wants to believe this. Well, they better start believing it, because it's sure happening. And I think everybody's being affected by this. We wonder why some of our leaders in the bigger groups for the TIs, they don't want to listen to Alex Jones, and they want to steer people away from it. They want to keep them in a box so that they keep control of them. Well, I'm not one you can keep in a box and keep in control.
You know what, Ken, you are absolutely correct. And I tell you, it's amazing when you think about it. Exactly what you just said, and for people to actually believe it, you know, their day is going to come whether they like it or not. My words
coming.
On that.
It is coming, and it's going to come to all of us. It ain't going to be just about the TIs. It's going to be all of us, and that's what I'm fighting for, trying to stop that.
Absolutely, yeah, you're absolutely correct. And what we're trying to fight, you're trying to fight this monster and educate the people about this thing really happening.
Right. Well, I think a lot of people know it's happening, but they think they're on the winning team and they're going to be protected. When this comes down, nobody's protected. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you got $1 billion. Some of them people are going to get their heads chopped off too. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You are 100% correct.
But it was a great party. It was a great party, and I did enjoy it. I enjoyed shaking Danny Glover's hand and talking to him for a couple of minutes. So, I'll take my hat off to you on that one. It's a big turnout, a huge turnout.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely. And usually, whatever I do, turn out to be good and big, and that's why it's so important that we learn to work together.
Right.
That's the message that we have to give. We have to learn to work together.
Well,
we can do anything.
That reminds me, Reverend Pinckney, I said a long time ago, we need to educate the public. Damn, if we don't need to educate the TIs, because half of them don't have a clue what's going on.
Oh, absolutely. You are absolutely correct. And I tell you, you know, so, you know, I hope that, you know, we can start our Thursday night show up again. And start letting people know that we're going to have, not this Thursday, but next Thursday, have our Thursday show so people can start calling in on Thursday. Because I think what we're doing right now is giving them a taste of what needs to be done more than anything else. But the key word that we got to organize ourselves, get people in order, and then take this thing to a whole different level. Ken, I'm going to come back to you later. I'm not gonna have a whole more or less a whole show today because I'm kind of worn out. But I'm gonna take it as far as I can. But I'm gonna make sure I bring you back on a couple more TIs.
Well, if you can bring somebody else on, let them speak. I've said enough, and I'm happy with that. Thank you, Reverend Pinkney.
All right, then. I'll talk to you later, Ken.
Okay.
All right. Lee Robinson, you there?
I'm right here, Reverend Pinkney. How you doing today?
Man, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Just a little worn out. This has been a big weekend for us. And we had Danny Glover here, and he put on a show. Believe me, he did. He was off the chain. I had to go get him yesterday in the rain, 3 hours of nothing but traffic. I mean, it was miserable. But the point was, the end justifies the means. So that was the most important thing about this. And he wanted to come, which is even more important.
Well, you know, one thing I can say about Danny Glover is that he's a good example for our youth in terms of living up to his responsibility,
mm-hmm.
regardless of what kind of status he acquired. He has always been on the front line fighting for social change, fighting for the struggling for African people, and fighting for justice and right for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And once he picked that torch up, he never gave up. And if he can hold on all the way to the end, those are kind of legacies that our people need to live up to. And we must, you know, give him his props. And he's a good fighter as well as for the Cuba and the Cuban people.
Oh, absolutely. He's going to El Salvador sometime in November. So that would be a step in the right direction. That's his plan. He's just an incredible guy. He just get out here and do what needs to be done.
Mm-hmm. And we get more entertainers to take over his demeanor. Our people allowed to follow along down the road. But unfortunately, they have brought into the nature of capitalism and materialism and to understand that the most important thing in life is advancement of human beings, not advancement of individual and things. So,
mm-hmm.
But anyway, we love Brother Danny and the work that he has done and continue to do.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, he's just a natural guy. He's just like you and I. You know, he don't let stardom try to make him bigger than life itself. He's willing to go beyond the call of duty, willing to go and do the things that need to be done. And I think, Lee, that is tremendous. I love that. I love it. I just love to see people just reaching out, trying to help each other.
Hey, you know, Reverend Pinkney, with that kind of attitude and demeanor in history, when our history is truly written by the people, he can ensure that he will have a page in the history book.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, him and brothers like Kwame Ture, Stokely Carmichael, I had a chance to get to know him and work with him for over 25 years. He also had the demeanor. He's always
mm-hmm.
tell us that I'm just another brother on the corner. Ain't no different.
Yeah, that's
like
all.
Brother.
It's another brother on the corner trying to get
that's
it right.
All. That's
you
all.
Know,
he always
and
say that.
Yeah, so you know that's a beautiful, beautiful thought. You know, just to think on that level, just another brother on the corner trying to get it right, and that's what we're trying to do. That's all we're trying to do, trying to get it right, and help as many people as possible to get it right. So,
exactly.
Like I said, I'm more than satisfied about this week. You know, when I end the show today, I'm going to be able to relax for a little bit until tomorrow when I hit that courthouse. But it's great. But listen, let's talk a little bit about you and your trip to Cuba that you're planning. Let's get that word out there so people can start circulating it. And those who would like to go, please don't hesitate to call. You can call me or you can call Lee. If you call me, I promise you I'll jot it down and get it to Lee. But you can call Lee directly. Lee, talk to me about it.
Well, Brother Pinkney, I think we is continuing carrying the torch like our brother Danny Glover and our brother Kwame Ture, formerly known as Stokely Carmichael, Dr. King, Malcolm X, who had picked that torch up and said we must do all that we can to advance our people's struggle. And one of the ways we can advance our people's struggle is to be in solidarity with the Cuban people because Cuba has been an integral part of the African movement globally. From its inception, when they received their independence in 1959, January 1st, 1959. Even prior, before they got their independence, they was already in Africa fighting along the side of our brothers and sisters in different liberation movements, whether it was in Angola, whether in Guinea-Bissau, and later on from to Namibia, to Zimbabwe, to the Congo. They were there. And not only were they there in this inception when they got the independence, they are still there helping and supplying the needs and well-being of our people. So we must always be grateful for those who have made contribution to our means of being able to survive and move forward as a people. At the same time, we must understand there's a historical link and historical determinant between African people in the United States, African people, and brothers and sisters in Cuba. We are one people, one goal, one aim, one objective. Historically, our movements has always been interconnected as one. And not unless we all survive, none of us will survive. And the Cuban people know this very well, but they even know something that even more very well that we don't know, that we need to know. They know that in their society, the greatest emphasis that you can place on any kind of society in terms of development is human development. You develop human beings, not material things and material things. So they have put all their trust in their policies, their thinking process towards how can we make these human beings the best human beings they can be. What kind of values and principles we can steal in these human beings to make sure they have virtues, they have values that other people can emanate and make a better world for our people. This has been the legacy of the history of the Cuban Revolution in that society. This is one of the major reasons, I think, that why we need to go to Cuba and get to see what a society looks like, feel like, and how it interrelates with other human beings. And once you see that, you'll come out very impressed and understand that, okay, we need to take some lessons from some of the things they did so we can improve our conditions wherever we are. So one of the things we want to do right now is fight the U.S. propaganda of demonizing Cuba. Every time we have countries of good nature and goodwill, and they want to do the right thing for the human beings, the U.S. has a policy where they always attempt to demonize them. And the reason why they demonize them is so they can easily psychologically get you prepared to go and fight and kill someone who has never done anything to you and make you think that you're killing someone who is your enemy. And in reality, when you do your research, you'll find out those brothers and sisters are more of your friends than anything. So what we need to do in terms of we need to fight this propaganda, this misinformed propaganda on Cuba and Cuban people. And more importantly, what we really need to do is show our gratitude to the Cuban people. Because as I stated last time we was on your program, one of the beautiful gestures they have right now in place for young African men and women who live in the United States who want to become a doctor, they can go to their medical school, and the Cuban government will pay for everything free for 6 years. And right now, they are producing doctors for our community. Right now, where you at, there's a young lady that recruited years ago. She's in Detroit up there where you at, Robert Pickney. She's practicing medicine right now. And she was a participant of the medical school in Cuba. You know, and her name is Lydia Holloway. Mm-hmm. And she's a good example to see how Cuba can transform a person from the beginning to the end and make them become a better person. Like one thing she mentioned to us when we used to always come and visit her is that if we don't do anything else for Cuba, at least we can just use our mouth. Talk about Cuba and talk about the real reality of Cuba. And you don't have to lie for Cuba, just talk about reality. So what they are doing. And that would mean a lot more to, you know, to Cuba than anything else. Because one of the things they used to do with the medical students who were down there, they used to interview them, and they used to come down there and twist their words and say they said things that they didn't say, and they were lying in Cuba. So one of the things she mentioned to us that, you know, one of the things we can do for those who have a chance to really see the realities of Cuba and visit the people, just go back, just talk to people about Cuba. That would be enough in and of itself, because they are doing so much. They are doing so much for the world. And it was real funny. 2 years ago, I was at a National Teacher Association workshop in Cuba with all the New England teachers up in the New England area, in Boston, Connecticut, up in the area. Every year, their teacher association go to Cuba to have an educational exchange with their intellectuals and with their teachers in Cuba. And at the workshop, the predominant teachers from Cuba, the educated in Cuba, the predominant was Africans. So they were sharing with the European teachers from America different techniques of how you can organize your class, what you can do to students to allow them to be able to comprehend their material a lot more better. They were teaching them all kinds of things they had no idea of. And so what these teachers have done, they've taken the information, the learning of the Cuban people, and then they're applying these things to American communities in the rural areas in America. And the contradiction I had with that whole scenario is that these are white teachers learning for our African brothers and sisters in Cuba, coming back and learning from their experiences and applying to get into their community and not sharing with the rest of the people. And we didn't have one black educator in the room.
Mm.
And, you know, it's just unfortunate we have a history of constant people learning from us, taking from us, and we have no idea how it came about, who created these concepts, ideas, and we don't benefit from it. They take from us, use it for themselves, and then use it against us. So we are African people. We got to start thinking for ourselves, and we got to start acting like we are free people. I know, you know, Americans say they are free people, but when you look at the American people in general and their behavior, they don't act like free people.
Mm-hmm.
They don't act like free people. They act like, you know, for some reason or other, we are scared to speak to reality as it relates to what is our real reality, what are the things we are confronted with on a daily basis. I mean, the sole question of being able to just talk to human beings. We should never feel uncomfortable when someone can put you in a condition where they say you can't talk to another human being. I don't care what that differences are. It's a human quality just to communicate to human beings. If America for years can talk to their enemies, the so-called Soviet Union, why can't we talk to our brothers and sisters in Cuba? But they're just human beings. So we should never let nobody make any kind of policy where they can cut us off from talking to each other. I find it very ironic that they took us from Africa, brought us over here, and they're going to tell us we can't talk to each other. I mean,
absolutely.
So, you know, so we're just asking our brothers and sisters, there's so much we can learn, so much we can do, but we want you to come and see the realities for Cuba for yourself by coming with us on from December 18th to January 3rd. And part of your trip, because you're going to relax a few days, 2 days in Cancun, but more importantly, you, as part of the trip inside of Havana, they will be having a four-day jazz festival. They have one of the best international jazz festivals every year. So you can get some aspect of that culture, as well as you can get a lot of that aspect of that intellectual properties of the things they are creating for society and how it can benefit us and how we can take a look at their society, what they are doing differently for us, and how they're getting positive results. And maybe we can come back over here and make this a better place.
All right. Hey, maybe let's work on that. Let's get the word out and take care of business. Let's see what happens.
Okay, so we just ask you all to email us at African_Awareness_Association@Yahoo, or you can call us at these numbers to find out more information and get your application. Get on board. You can call us at 804-549-7492, or you can dial 202-714-9435. And say, I'd like to go on a freedom ride to go to Cuba. And we're going to do all we can to try to get rid of this blockade, and we're going to do all that we can while we're in the United States to find out more about the Cuban Five. Right now, they have four of the five Cuban Five still locked up in these dungeons. They did nothing wrong. The only thing they did was came over here, penetrated the terrorist organizations, and gave the information over to the FBI, telling the FBI that these are the individuals and groups that are planning terrorist attacks and doing terrorist activities in Cuba, in Venezuela, all around the world. And since you say you're against terrorism, we hope that you do something about it. Unfortunately, they turned around and locked them up. And ever since they've been locking up, there have been a media blockade on that particular case. So we're asking our brothers and sisters and all people of goodwill to Google up the Cuban Five, find out more about the organization, and then put pressures on your local legislators and on your national legislators and tell them we must release our brothers and sisters and let them go home. They did nothing wrong. They're heroes. They're fighting terrorism, and they're people of principle. And most of our brothers and sisters, and I know three of the five, went to Angola, went to Cuba, and fought along the side of our brothers and sisters. So that's the bottom line. We must go in do whatever we can to help our brothers and sisters. We'd like to give our people a goal or opportunity to go and see Cuba for themselves. And as free people, we have the right, and we must begin to start thinking and acting like free people.
All right. I don't think we can ask for anything more than that. Hey, appreciate you, my brother. And I'm going to have a short show today, so I got to move on. I got to bring in my good girl, Roz. But look, anytime you feel like coming on talking about it, you're welcome to do so.
And we thank you for your opportunity. Thank you.
All right, my brother. Take care of yourself.
Thank you,
all right. Roz, are you there?
I'm here, and I'm so blessed to be with you, and I just thank the Lord for you and everything that you do. It's just such a blessing. Thank you, Reverend Pinkney. I thank you for everybody listening and for all the people that you've touched their lives. It's a blessing for all of us.
Hey, you know what? I can only do what God allowed me to do.
Right. Well, you
but
work for
do
the
no
Lord.
More than that.
That's so exciting. I thank everybody out there for their prayers. I send blessings their way. I have a praise report. Christopher David is running against Henry Waxman. He hasn't announced yet, but he came with his staff to my house to read all my evidence and medical reports and judges' decisions. They were shocked at what the judge did to me. Judge Gerald Cohn from the Van Nuys Workers' Comp Court, and Dr. John Stahlberg from Santa Monica, how he wrote the $16,770 medical report and admits under oath in writing that he did not have the evidence for it. And as God always tells us, the truth always comes out. Always. And this is so exciting. So I need everyone's story. What's across the country, what's happened as they've been injured, what's happened at their school site, if they haven't called the paramedics, if they haven't taken care of them, if they're just an injured worker, what the insurance companies have done to them. Sedgwick Insurance from Los Angeles Unified School District is also the insurance company for Ralph's Market up in Ventura. And the adjuster denied an injured worker the medical treatment that he needed, and he died. This is not the first time. I'm certain there's been thousands of times. There's been thousands of denials and delays, and injured workers have lost their homes, can't pay their bills, they've lost their families, and many have killed themselves. The state of California purposely kills off innocent, injured workers and innocent people. I charge him with that. I find this terrible, disgusting, unconscionable. So please contact me at rozywow@aol.com. rozywow@aol.com. This will be wonderful. David wants to shine the light on this. And this is so exciting. rozywow@aol.com. And my telephone number is 818-631-0513. And I don't want anybody to give up out there. You just have to trudge along. And when it gets to be the worst times, I want you to know that a blessing is coming. And it's hard. This is so hard. This is so frustrating. This is so depressing that this is done to anybody. Any innocent person has to suffer by the hands of the devil. And we're going to defeat the devil. We're praising the Lord that he's going to get us through and we're going to have victory.
All right. You know what? We got to keep it this way. You know what I'm saying?
Right, but isn't this incredible that all of a sudden I met this man, he tells me he's running for office, I tell him my story, and he says, oh, I want to hear more about it. And I forgot all about it. I have fibro fog. I forgot. He calls me, and he said, yes, I'd like to see the evidence that you have for the corruption, the fraud, the waste, and what happened to you in your case. They came. He brings his staff, Matthew and Kristen, and they couldn't believe the terrible things that Judge Cohn said about me. They don't usually do that. They just don't want to pay me.
Wow.
How terrible.
Oh, you're absolutely correct. I mean, how bad can it get?
Right. Just terrible. But I'm going to keep speaking up. I thank you for always standing with me and telling me to give them hell.
That's
well,
right.
I have, and I just...
Yes, sir, and keep on giving them hell.
Right, and I am, because I don't want to see another injured worker in California, another person across America that's injured. I don't want them killed, but we need your stories. We need your stories everywhere. I spoke to another teacher. They didn't call the paramedics for her. They didn't call the paramedics for Charles Smith, and he died from being sprayed with the toxic chemicals. This is a school district that says, LAUSD, that their number one priority is for their students' safety. Their number one priority is getting the money, bagging it up, and running off with it. That's their number one priority. Deals, payoffs. It's happening. It'll all come out.
Yes, it will.
Disgusting.
I say it's just a matter of time.
Right. And I know that last night you had a wonderful dinner. I'm sorry I couldn't be there. That would have been wonderful.
Oh, absolutely. It was off the chain. It was tremendous. It just wasn't good. It was tremendous. And I tell you, we had a glorious time doing the things that need to be done.
Right. Well, that was a gift for you from God.
Absolutely.
No question
about it.
Right, because special people come into our lives, and you're one of the special people that have come in my life to keep me going here no matter what. And there's people out there, and sometimes it's just a smile that somebody's giving you that you need. Sometimes it's a kind word to make it through.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want
mm-hmm.
anybody to give up. I'm hug and loves, and we've got to get close to the Lord to make it through this. What's going on here, we're close to the Third World War in our country. We have to share our gifts and our blessings and what we know with other people. Help them start jobs. Help them get work. Help them with their children, their families, all of us together. We must unite now to save us, and we must unite to change these elected officials.
Oh, absolutely.
The corrupt. Right. In California, the insurance companies are running it that I know of, but more will be revealed. The governor, Judge Cohen, Dr. Stahlberg, the Ethics Advisory Committee all concur that a judge can write a report that changes the facts, makes up a medical diagnosis, and nobody seems to care. And this does violate ethics. Judicial ethics.
No question about that, Ross. There's not a doubt in my mind.
I know how corrupt they are, and they don't know when you ask them. Everybody is entitled to a fair, just, and impartial trial. That's required judicial ethics. But not here in the state of California. The payoffs are so big, nobody cares what they're doing.
Wow.
And if you thought you wanted to be a doctor, you don't have to go to medical school in the state of California. You just have to be corrupt.
Interesting. Wow.
Yes. If Dr. Stahlberg could write a report for $16,770, and he's supposed to be an expert in his field, and admits he doesn't have the evidence for it, he can't say that I have an access to narcissistic personality disorder, because he's admitted he doesn't have the evidence for it, and he doesn't care. And he knows that if he says that, it lowers my rating and denies all my benefit, and I lose my home, and my health gets worse. It's hard to talk. I'm exhausted all the time. I have the pain from the fibromyalgia. And then I'll lose my home and can't pay my bills. But they don't seem to care if they kill me off.
Mm-hmm.
And the insurance makes $20 billion a year or billions of dollars a year. They can't do so. All of us, there's more of us, like you say, than them. So we have to stand up. We have to speak up. We have to get to the polls. And we have to vote.
That's right.
We have to think about who's coming in. We have Susan Shelley, who's now running, and she could break the supermajority in the assembly.
Absolutely.
We need them. All we get is taxes. We get the DWP, the power, all the bills raised, all the people that are here that haven't processed right, even though a lot of them aren't even following the laws here. We're going to make them lawyers here. We want them in the jury. I've never heard of anything so crazy. We need to follow the law. If we have laws, we need to follow them.
That's true.
Right. We need to have consequences when you don't follow the laws, especially with the children in school. And this Common Core, When you hear this word, you should all be so upset out there, dumbing down your children, your grandchildren, future children that are coming along into the schools. This is terrible. You need to read what your kids are learning. This cannot go on. People have to stand up. They have to get together, and they have to stop this already. Turn America around.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. People, they're just dumbing the kids down. People don't care no more. People used to care.
No, they don't care. And especially in California. I don't know in Michigan, but we have such a low turnout for the elections.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get people together. Whatever you can do, if you can walk and meet people and talk to them, people have to be scared. We're going into the third world war. It's scary.
Yeah.
What's going on? Dumbing down our children.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have. Don't you go into the market sometimes and talk to these kids? I know, and you don't get anywhere with them, the salespeople.
That's right.
Like, what happened? What happened to your education? No matter what color you are, what religion, you need to have a wonderful education, because the more educated we are, the better it is for all of us, the better the blessing. When somebody's blessed, that means we can be blessed too. I don't know why people haven't learned that.
Absolutely. But listen, Rod, you got about 90 seconds to say whatever you want. I got to bring on my good friend Mary, and then we'll bring on my friend from the Philadelphia area. Go right ahead.
Okay, I want to thank everybody. Blessings and hugs to all of you. Thank you for your prayers. Please praying. I'm going to court October 17th for the home health care. We want them to end it. I need victory in court already so I get help here. My health is deteriorating, and I need to hear from you. I need your stories. Christopher David, who's running for office, wants to shine a light on this. For the school stories about our children and the teachers and the safety issues and the waste and fraud. Rozzy Wow, ROZYWOW@AOL.com. Rozzy Wow at AOL.com and 818-631-0513. 818-631-0513. Thank you to all. You're all in my prayers. And blessings to you. And I don't want anybody to give up. God is with you. Don't ever forget that. And nothing is impossible with God.
Amen. Thank way you. To go, Rozzy. Appreciate you.
Oh, I appreciate all of you. I'm honored and blessed, and it's a testimony. Thank you.
All right. You have a nice day, and I'm going to bring on Mary. Mary, are you there?
I am here, Reverend Pinkney, and I thank you very much for having me on your show. I'm sure you and Danny Glover really gave the audience at your celebration something to think about in your speeches. I'm sorry I wasn't able to be there with you. I'm under intense intimidation here in Georgia by Georgia police. I called you a little earlier, but you didn't answer. I wanted to tell you that I looked out my door today, and there were two black police officers standing at my door asking me about my son. It seems that every time I publish something they don't like, and I'm getting close to releasing my book, Cochran, Fur, and Fraud, the police start coming to my house. I want everybody to know that. When I published an article in November about the NAACP, when you were planning to go and picket them in April, and I published news about them in the blog, somebody hit my son behind. They did a rear-end collision, and then they ran off in a white Infiniti. That was minutes after I hit submit on the article about your protest against NAACP. I want to thank you again for revealing that sellout organization, and I hope they get things straight now and start working for the people they say they work for. And then it happened in the spring. In April, when I was on the radio with Civil Alert Radio, time the radio broadcast was over, and I had told people about the Jenny Cochran firm fraud, that is a COINTELPRO operation working against blacks throughout America. Time I was done with the radio show, a car did a head-on collision with my son. It was waiting at the shopping center, and as he pulled in, they hit him in front. And the police who came about the accident, it was on private property, first he told my son, oh, I can definitely see that this is their fault. I mean, you know, he's on his side of the road. He's going in the lane, in the drive to the store. It happened to be the same store that I first told you about, Reverend Pinckney, where I was chased by four vehicles led by a U.S. DOT truck. And they held me there at that Chevron station. They surrounded me. I called 911, and the police didn't come. There was a cop next door guarding the liquor store. I guess that was his second job. I went and told him about the stalkers that had followed me from Kroger. He went and talked to the driver of the USDOT truck. When he came back from talking to the driver of the USDOT truck, he didn't stop at me. He kept walking right by me. I went in the liquor store and said, "Officer, what did the USDOT truck driver say?" And he said, "I'm not telling you." And I said, "Well, are you going to call the police? I've already called 911, and they didn't send in about it. And these vehicles followed me from Kroger, and they're surrounding me." And he said, "No, I'm not calling." So I realized then that the police were very much a part of the suppression. I didn't really understand at the time what was going on. That the Jenny Cochran firm worked for police to hold down their settlements when people are murdered or brutalized by police officers. And then the police, in turn, hold it down for the Cochran firm by intimidating families who speak out against this oppression. So they have been intimidating me through persecuting my son, and this started time we served lawsuit on the Jenny Cochran firm. When our federal lawsuit was filed, this is the program that they've been on. So I don't really know what these police officers wanted today. They weren't police. They were from the DeKalb County Sheriff's Department. The police department, I guess they're tired of coming because the last time I saw them, they came here regarding my mother who was sexually assaulted by a COINTELPRO agent. A COINTELPRO agent came to my house in April. She presented herself as being a nurse for my mother's home health company. When I let her see my mother, I went upstairs behind her within about 5 minutes, and I'm glad I did, because she had my mother's diaper down, and she had my mother sticking her buttocks out toward her. I don't really know what that was all about, whether she just was getting her jollies off or whether she planned to insert a poison suppository or just what that was about. I asked her, "What are you doing?" And she said, "I was sent to change the bandage on your mother's buttocks." I said, "My mother doesn't have a bandage on her buttocks." She said, "I see she doesn't. She's got nice-looking buttocks." "Yes, yes." And she hurried and left. I called the home health company, and they had not sent a nurse. I called her doctor, and he had not sent a nurse. She was just a COINTELPRO agent, and what her purpose was here, I don't know. The police, I gave them the IP addresses of the individuals who take over my computer, because those people are the only ones other than my family here at the house who knew we were getting home health service from mother. So they won't investigate those IP addresses because I know who they belong to and they know also. So they won't address that. They won't look for the woman who came here under false pretenses and sexually assaulted my mother. They actually sent police to my house to tell me I better not ever go back to the DeKalb County government building. And I said, "Excuse me, as I live here, the house I live in, we're paying taxes on it to the DeKalb County, and I can't go to the government building?" And the woman said, "Well, you can go to the government building, but don't ever tell any police superiors that we are not answering your police reports." And so she told me what I better not say when I went to the government building. I better not tell that DeKalb County Police will not answer my police reports. They won't do anything with the license tag number of the individual who was following me and who told me he was following me because he was paid well to do so. So I can't tell that to the police superiors. I better not say it to the DeKalb County Police. And so every time I look around, they got some mess going. They're intimidating us. They've got a program of intimidation going on. And it's all because I exposed the Jenny Cochran firm. Now, I'll tell you something. The Jenny Cochran firm hadn't just been sued by Mary Neal. They've been sued by at least 20 other of their clients, including sets of clients that they've deported. And I've got those lawsuits laid out for you in an article called Treacherous Cochran Firm, Treacherous Attorneys, the Cochran Firm. And so you can look at all the lawsuits. But the reason that people don't know about it is because they just put the lawsuits against that COINTELPRO operation in legal journals. Other lawyers know about it, but the people don't. And it's on shutdown. It's on lockdown. They don't want the people to know about it because they want to keep on using the Cochran firm to defraud blacks. A young boy here in DeKalb County, I think it was last month, he was shot by police because he was missing school. It was a truancy offense. He skipped school and the police shot him. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead.
Yeah. And that family didn't know any damn better than to go and get the Cochran firm as their defense. So they think that they're going to have a suit against the police for shooting their teenage son because he missed school, and they went and got the Cochran firm. Now, the thing is that you and I know that that means they ain't getting a damn dime.
Mm-hmm.
They're not getting anything beyond what those people want to pay because the Cochran firm is the police. They the police, they work for the police against families, especially against black and brown families. And so they don't want people to know better than to go to that law firm. That's why it is that when the judge lied and said there's no Cochran firm operating in the state of Georgia, that's why the news won't publish it. You know, it's major news when a law firm denies its own existence in court and the judge approves it.
Mm.
The biggest lie in the world, and they approved it. They approved that perjury. And the reason is because it's a fraud against all black and brown people. And
that's
so
right.
They figure, Mary Neal keep telling about this, our business is getting slower. And so they figure they'll send their police to my house to intimidate us. And they will keep wrecking my son's car, arresting him on malicious arrest. And then I'll stop talking about it. But I want everybody, all of the COINTELPRO, all of the police, all of the USDOJ, all of New World Order, I want you all to know right now that I don't belong to you. I don't serve you. I don't worship you. I don't revere you. I belong to God the Father. I belong to Jesus Christ. And he said, fear not. Okay? So there's nothing you can do to me or mine to make me act like you want me to act. I give you every opportunity to be just, to just obey the law. And you don't want to do that. You want to use police officers to intimidate me. And all they're doing is building a record of offenses themselves. That's all. Because if somebody's in trouble and they come to you and say, help me with this trouble I'm having, how come they can't help themselves since they're so awful powerful? So they get you to commit offenses, and then you're in the same trouble they're in. So it's just for everybody to just stop right here and realize this woman cannot be intimidated by our bullshit because she belongs to God and her trust is in him. And so that's all I want to say, Reverend. I want to congratulate you on your wonderful event on the 5th. And I want them to know that I am not frightened of them. I want them to know that I'm going to do what God says do. I want them to know that they have every opportunity to do what needs to be done, to be fair and just. And if they reject that, then it's going to be what's going to be. Okay? So I thank you for this opportunity to speak to oppressors, especially these black, both of these officers were black. Came to my house. They used to intimidate me for reporting a lynching that my brother, Larry Neal, was secretly arrested for 18 days in Memphis Shelby County Jail, murdered, and they won't even turn loose the records and tell us how they murdered them or why they murdered them or why they kidnapped them. Nothing. 10 years we've been asking. And they send black police officers to my house to intimidate me. These are slave masters and they're black Confederate soldiers. I don't know if the police officers knew why they were sent here to mess with me, but that's what it's about. It's hiding a lynching. It's a lynching cover-up that you're involved in. And it's a damn shame that there are so many black people willing to be used to suppress a black family who's trying to uncover and get justice after the lynching of a handicapped black man. But their intimidation will not work.
All right.
So thank you, Reverend.
All right. And listen, I appreciate you, young lady. Just keep fighting. Don't hold these folks up.
Well, you know, if they can't do you, they come after your children or some other people in your family. We're used to that.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Now, I will talk to you next week. We're going to have a short show today. I'm going to bring on Gloria. Gloria, I want you to close it out, and then we'll have a long show again next week. And also, we're going to start our Thursday show, not this Thursday, but next Thursday. Go right ahead.
All right, Reverend Pinkney, I'm glad your banquet was a success last night.
It was amazing.
This is a very solemn, wonderful. This is a very solemn time in the TI community, Reverend Pinkney, in light of Aaron Alexis and Miriam Carey. We had a young lady that's a targeted individual, Christina Angel. We understood she took her life, but we pray now that she's at peace, no more torture, no more stalking, and she can get the rest that she needs. So it's kind of difficult that we don't get feedback. We don't have a dialogue going. So, one other good thing happened. The judge in Pennsylvania is serving 28 years in prison for selling prisoners to his friend, prisoners and juvenile delinquents. He was
absolutely
selling them.
I heard about that. That's a good one.
He made $1 million. Come on. But if anyone has any more questions they want to ask us, I know we come with some pretty different things each week, but if at any time, every Wednesday from 6 o'clock until 6 Eastern Standard Time, we have something called TI Talk, and the number is 218-632-0460. And the PIN number is 726-476-87. And we can then, if they have questions, we can answer those questions for them at that time. And I just pray for all the families. And once again, Dr. Short, I want to thank you. Elvira Williams is in the medical end of the hospital getting the care that she needs. And they discovered that she needed 2 pints of blood. So far, so good. We're moving. We're steady moving. So, like I said, anyone can call us and on Wednesdays at 6 o'clock. And any questions that you might have on a Sunday, feel free to answer. We'll answer them on Wednesday. Thank you for listening.
All right. Hey, Gloria, that's tremendous. But look, you're going to be the final caller today. I'm going to end the show. And what we'll do, we'll go back to our regular format next week. I'm going to get me some rest, and then I'll be strong again for tomorrow. On that note, I'm going to have to say goodnight to all. God bless y'all. God keep y'all. And I will talk to y'all soon. Good night, everybody.
Good night.